Welcome to Born to Thrive, Going Deeper with God. Together, we will journey into the heart of God as revealed in His Word. Discover why we were created for more. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Going Deeper with God. I'm really excited, I would say passionate, about sharing today on the topic, Why Did Jesus Have to Die? And many of you probably learned all about Jesus on the cross when you were in Sunday school and you were 6 years old or whatever your story is. Many of you maybe later on in life, but there may be people listening right now that never really understood why Jesus had to die on the cross. And the more I experience different teachings out there, I realize that it's really not taught as much as you would think. And so I want to take this opportunity to talk about the most incredible love story ever. There is nothing more powerful or more beautiful than this love story. And when I talk about love story, it is a love story between God and His people and how deeply He loves you and me. You can't really comprehend God's love. But the cross gives us a powerful picture of how passionate He is about you and me, about the entire world. We've all read John 3:16 says this, "For God so loved the world, the whole world, that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him will never perish but have eternal life," right? And so we know that, but can you imagine that there's no one walking this earth right now that Jesus does not love? There's no one that you will encounter in your life that Jesus did not die for. And so again, let's talk about why did Jesus have to die? Well, Romans chapter 6:23 says this, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And so that means that everything that we do, like whenever we sin, we actually earn death. And many of you will hear me say this over and over again. I come to you humbly as your sister, and I have to repent all the time. And I say, God, forgive me for this, because we know that when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, those sins are all washed away, right? And so whenever we do sin as believers, we feel the conviction or the sadness of the Holy Spirit, and we want to get right because we love, love, love Jesus. And so our heart's desire is to get right. And so I routinely will ask the Lord to search my heart. We'll get into that probably in our next episode. It's not a situation of condemnation and shame and guilt. It's the recognition that I'm acting outside of intimacy with God or my love relationship with God. So right now I want to talk about Isaiah 53. In the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah actually prophesied about the coming Messiah, who is Jesus Christ. And many of the religious scholars of the day did not understand this picture of the Messiah, because the Jewish leaders believed that the Messiah is going to come and He's going to set them free from the bondage of whatever regime they were under. So they waited many, many, many years for the Messiah to kind of set them free. And during Jesus' time, probably the Roman Empire wanted to be free from their cruelty and the, you know, just the oppression. But let me just quote some of Isaiah 53. It says this. It says, "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from Him. He was despised and we did not esteem Him." And then it says this, "Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was stricken by God, smitten, and we hid as it were our faces from Him. He was bruised for our transgressions. He was wounded for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed." And then it says, "All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've each gone our own way. But the Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us all." And so we see this picture of the suffering Savior. And again, the religious rulers of the day could not comprehend that. And yet now we know that God had a greater plan than what was originally thought of. Of course, we know that Jesus is returning again and he's going to rule and reign on the earth. But first he had to save us from our sins. And so the cross is really about this. It says that Jesus was slain from the foundations of the world. Jesus, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit knew when they created mankind that we would fall away from him. And Jesus said, I will redeem them. I will redeem them. So knowing this and watching us turn away from God to indulge our sinful flesh with all kinds of iniquity and sin, it grieved his heart. And he constantly tried to draw us back to himself. And then Jesus came and he changed it all. Before Jesus came, our sins were covered. When Jesus died on the cross and actually took our sins and nailed them to the cross, shed his blood on that cross, when we accept that forgiveness and we accept this new life that Jesus is offering us, when we have a heart of repentance and we say, God, forgive me, I have sinned. I love you because I see that you love me. God, forgive me of my sins. The Bible says that the blood of Jesus washes away our sins. They do not exist. That's why we have what Jesus used, the expression that we are born again. We are literally new creations in Christ Jesus when we accept the cross and what Jesus did on the cross. The sins are washed away and we are new born creations in him. We become a part of him. We become his sons and his daughters in the kingdom of God. It's a powerful thing. It's hard to really wrap our minds around the fact that Jesus, who created all things, seen and unseen, would wrap himself in flesh to become like man. He wasn't born in a palace, even though he's king of the universe. No, he was born in a manger. So he walked in such humility. And who did he go to when he had his earthly ministry? He went to the poor, to the broken, to those who desperately needed him. They needed to know that, oh my gosh, I can have a new life. And that is what Jesus is offering each one of us. He's saying that you were worth the suffering. You were worth the nails. You were worth the prints in my hands and the nails in my feet and in my hands. You were worth the crown of thorns. You were worth it. But let me explain this to you. This is even more incredible, and I can't comprehend it. The Bible says this, that the wrath of God came on Jesus, his own son. So he took the punishment for us so that we do not have to, so that we are free, so that we are free to live eternally with him, with no condemnation, no shame, no guilt, free from oppression. And as little children, we walk with our faces towards our beloved, and he looks at us as his beloved, and he, by the Holy Spirit, helps us to walk out this life. This is what I was going to say that is really going to blow you away. The Bible says that he who knew no sin, Jesus was sinless. He never sinned. He's God in flesh. He never sinned. But he, in the body, he understood temptation and evil and all of these different temptations that came to him. And yet he never sinned, right? But it says that he who knew no sin became sin that we might become the children of God, the righteousness of God. He who knew no sin became sin that we might become the righteousness of God. Oh my gosh. And then, of course, we're going to celebrate really soon the resurrection. After 3 days, he rose again. And just as Jesus rose again from the grave, we rise, we leave our grave clothes, the old life away from us. We rise in newness. In the newness of the Spirit of God as born again, new creations in Christ Jesus. And it's a remarkable story. And I feel like we need to understand that Jesus paid a high price for us because he loves us so deeply. Not so that we can stay in sin and say, hey, I prayed the prayer, so I'm good. And, you know, I'm going to do what I want to do. That's not surrender. That is not surrender. That's not believing. Because if you truly believe in Jesus, you're not going to want to sin anymore. Now, you may fall into sin, which we all do, right? We may make a mistake here and say something we shouldn't say or whatever we're doing. We all have that, right? However, Jesus washes us white as snow. He continues to wash us in his own blood when we repent of that sin. But if you have a heart where you're not repenting at all, repenting means turning away from it. Repentance means I don't want to do that. Oh my gosh, that's the old man. That's not who I am today. If you don't have that heart, I would challenge you to ask yourself, did I really commit my life to Jesus? Or did I just say a prayer so I can go to heaven one day? Because it's a full surrender and it's the most beautiful thing. It's like this. Jesus created you with purpose. And the minute you surrender to the Creator, he's able to allow the real you, the beautiful you that he created you to be, to flourish and to come to the surface. And you will do wonderful things for the kingdom of God when you're fully surrendered. So there's no in-between. In case you think that there's an in-between place there, no. There are different, I believe that we're on different paths. Like some of us are like newborn babes, and so we have a journey and the Holy Spirit is helping us to grow. And when you are, let's just say you've been a Christian for a long time, but you're still like a newborn babe, I would encourage you, you need to get into the Word of God because that's your milk. That's how you grow. And as you get into God's Word or just, you know, learning God's Word, it's like when you fall, it's like the Father is still cheering you on. Come on, you can do this. Keep your focus on me. Keep your focus on me. Kind of like this. If you have kids and if you've had like a little baby or something, and then pretty soon the baby is just learning how to walk like we do as believers. We learn how to walk this Christian walk, right? And you see the baby is taking one or two steps and then falls. What do? You pick the baby up and then you go, come on, I've got you. Keep your eyes on me. You can do it. Take another step. Take another two or three steps. And you keep picking the baby up and you keep, come on, you got it. You got it. That's how the Father is with us. You know, as we walk this walk and we stumble along the way, he will pick us up and we have to keep our eyes on him, right? So that you can continue to walk. He's cheering you on. There's no condemnation when you've given your life to Jesus. However, if you haven't given your life to Jesus, you probably won't even feel bad about your lifestyle. You'll probably feel like, hey, I'm good. You know, I don't mind being this way. This is who I am. And, you know, as long as I say the prayer, I'm going to heaven. That's deception. And so please, I just urge you, do not be deceived by the devil. Do not be deceived by Satan into thinking that you're okay because you said a prayer, but you've never had a heart that's been transformed before the Lord. Now you may be backslidden, and if you are, come back home. He's still cheering you on. He's waiting for you. He's waiting to embrace you. Come back home. There's no time to play around. Come back home. And just understand that regardless of where you are, his love for you is eternal. His love for you is so powerful and passionate that he never gives up on you. He wants you to come into his arms so that he can embrace you and heal your brokenness, heal your wounds, heal your heart. And he wants to restore you. He wants to do incredible things in your life. That is who he is, and that is how he sees you. However, we have a free will. God will not violate your free will, right? So you must choose him. He's already chosen you. You must choose him and say, God, I choose you. And choose him over and over and over again if you need to. But say, God, I choose you. And in that moment, God will do a beautiful work inside of you through the power of the Holy Spirit, and you will experience newness of life. Doesn't mean that life will be easy. It just means that you'll never walk alone. You'll experience the closeness of His love, His presence. He will empower you in difficult situations to get through it. The Holy Spirit will use you in a powerful way. This is the hour to do it, but I just want to celebrate our Jesus, who loves us so much that He took the thorns in His hands and His feet and the crown of thorns on His head. And the worst part is just He who knew no sin became sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. Remember, it's the work of the cross. It's not your own doing. Like, you can do, wear yourself out, but it's only by the blood of Jesus Christ and accepting Him that we are His righteousness. We have become His righteousness, right? Because we reflect Him through the blood of Jesus. He had to die so that He could save us and rescue us from death, hell, and the grave. All right. Makes me love Him even more just talking about it. So we're going to talk again about His resurrection and what that means in our next episode. So good. So good. Let us never forget that our sins are bad. They are bad. Jesus had to die because our sin is so bad. And yet His love is so great. And His love for you is so great. And He has come to set you free and to love on you and to embrace you and to tell you that you are His own. All right, I'll stop here. And the next time we're going to talk about the resurrection and what does that mean for us as believers. So if you do not know whether or not you truly are a believer, just pray the prayer. Just ask Jesus to come into your heart. In fact, I'll pray it right now. Dear Jesus, just repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I don't know if I'm a Christian or not, but I want You. I want newness of life. I repent of all of my sins, Lord, and I just lay them at the cross, and I say, God, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit, Lord, that I might be Your own. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. And if you prayed that prayer, why don't you reach out, buildingbridgeskc.org, and then under the contact section, at the very bottom of the page on our website, there's like an information spot. So go ahead and fill that out. We would love to celebrate with you and contact you and try to be an encouragement to you. Thank you. And I will see you next time. God bless.
If you are struggling in life, you are not alone. We have a Christ-centered mental health team ready to walk with you down the path of healing. To find out more, there is a link in the show notes. Consider becoming a financial partner with Building Bridges Ministries. The link can be found in the show notes. Together, we will multiply kingdom impact.
You are the water. Yeah, yeah. You are the living water. My well is dry. I need You in my life. I'm thirsty, so my well is empty.